Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so glad you all are here. Let's take a moment together in silence to turn within to that place of love and of stillness that's in each of us that we all share. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. We're placing the Holy Spirit in charge of our time together tonight, trusting that if we need a word, we'll be given it. If we need to hear something, we can trust that we'll hear what we need to. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. So we will start tonight on page 212 of the Sparkle Edition. The subheading is the awareness of the Holy Spirit. That's page 212. If you have the original edition, it's page 178, also called The Awareness of the Holy Spirit, Chapter 9, Part 5. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 173. The subheading is actually called The Acceptance of Your Brother. So again, that's Foundation for Inner Peace, page 173, The Acceptance of Your Brother. All right, here we go. The Awareness of the Holy Spirit. How can you become increasingly aware of the Holy Spirit in you except by his effects? You cannot see him with your eyes, nor hear him with your ears. How then can you perceive him at all? If you inspire joy and others react to you with joy, even though you are not experiencing joy yourself, there must be something in you that is capable of producing it. If it is in you and can produce joy, and if you see that it does produce joy in others, you must be dissociating it in yourself. And I'll pause there. So this speaks to me of how we've talked so many times about how our feelings can be a good indicator, particularly the feeling of love and peace and joy in terms of helping us sort of identify where we're at. If we feel that lack of peace or that, you know, lack of joy, then we're likely identifying with the ego, and it's that place of peace and joy that comes forth when we're identified with spirit. And this is saying clearly that we must simply be dissociating that peace within ourselves if there's something in us that can inspire it in others, yet we might not be feeling it ourselves. Any comments or reactions to this first paragraph?
I'm just curious as to an example of that, you know, like, what would be...
Have you ever had, I'm sure you have, I mean, the simplest example that comes to mind for me is just, you know, maybe I see somebody that I'm happy to see and I feel sort of uplifted seeing them, but, you know, they're kind of feeling funky today. You know, they're not necessarily feeling that same joy that I might feel upon seeing them. So there's something.
Well, how about just the opposite of that? How about you're not really feeling... because that's, you know, if I'm not feeling really happy or joyful, but I see you, and oh, just the sight of you makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It makes me think too, just how, you know, when we have handed everything over to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Course says that genuinely just doing this once makes all the difference, that, you know, even if we forget that and so feel perhaps identified with the ego again, you know, we've done it already. And so I know I've had experiences sometimes where a miracle seems to just have come out of the blue. I don't remember consciously choosing for something in that moment, and yet something still sort of comes forth in me. So that makes me think of that as well, that the Holy Spirit is always there, whether or not we're aware of it. Let's take the next paragraph. It seems to you that the Holy Spirit does not produce joy consistently in you, only because you do not consistently arouse joy in others. Their reactions to you are your evaluations of his consistency. When you are inconsistent, you will not always give rise to joy, and so you will not always recognize his consistency. What you offer to your brother, you offer to him, because he cannot go beyond your offering in his giving. This is not because he limits his giving, but simply because you have limited your receiving. The will to receive is the will to accept. So this paragraph to me here speaks to that lesson to give and to receive are one in truth. And also it makes me think about how we've talked before about, you know, we have not yet made our mind consistently to side with the Holy Spirit. We still have one foot in the ego's camp and one foot in the Holy Spirit's camp, not totally certain that we, you know, want to step over solidly into the Holy Spirit's camp, because we still think that the ego has something to offer. So if we have one foot in each boat, we're not going to be consistent, because we're listening to two completely opposite, completely different teachers. And so if we then take that inconsistency and say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit isn't there all the time, you know, we're trying to blame it on the Holy Spirit, when in fact it's simply because we haven't yet made up our minds. So again, let's pause there and see if anybody has anything coming up so far.
What you were just saying about having your feet in both camps made me think of, I think it's lesson 124, where it's talking about you will hear the voice of God. It's directly related to your willingness to hear.
That's perfect.
Yes,
that's great. So the amount of our willingness is proportional to how well we're going to be able to hear that voice for love.
And can I share something very personal that I was, I received a message the other day, because I was walking by the canal and I was kind of attuning with the fairies and angels, and it was a very interesting message that I received from above, that the reason why I cannot see them so well or constantly, because I lost focus so easily. And which was such an insight to me, because my focus can be driven or easily driven away just in everyday life too. And it makes so much sense that that to really have that vibration and accept this highest and divine energy coming to us, listening or hearing or being as a clairvoyant, that we need to keep the focus, because to me that the lesson was that if I keep my focus, I keep the vibration as high that I can sense and hear.
Mm. Boy, is that on target.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. That was right on target. It made me think, you know, just how the Course talks about how we're way too tolerant of mind wandering, and that this is a course in mind training, that we're learning how to keep the focus on spirit rather than on, you know, those millions of distractions of the ego. And you also called to mind for me, too, how we've spoken before on the call about Dr. Eben Alexander's book, Proof of Heaven, and one of the big things that I took away from that was, what he focused on came nearer to him. So when he focused on sort of these, higher levels, so to speak, of heaven, that became, very present to him versus if he was, focusing elsewhere more down into this, what seemed to be more of like an ego realm. That's where he was. So that was a big takeaway for me because it just really spoke to me that, if I keep my focus on spirit, that is going to be my experience. If I keep my focus on the ego, guess what?
I think the first paragraph that we read tonight was talking about how when you hear the Holy Spirit, you do not see with your eyes or hear with your ears. Mm-hmm. And for me, doing intuitive work is really about tuning in to the mind of spirit. So we still receive messages via, they may be visual or a feeling, an inner knowing that doesn't go away. It becomes stronger and stronger. Or a vision in your mind that is really, really clear, clairvoyant. But it's a seeing with your mind. It's not with the body.
I like that, seeing with your mind.
I have a question. I'm wondering if the paragraph saying that if we're always, the more we're able to connect with the Holy Spirit, then, let's say if we were able to connect with the Holy Spirit consistently, then we would consistently always see joy in other people, even if, let's say, they were closed off or upset or not in a good mood?
You'll still have that willingness to see the truth in them. So the Holy Spirit in your mind is still going to, see the Holy Spirit in their mind. So what that picture might actually look like, I don't know. I know that the Course, it says somewhere to the effect that what was it? It was something like, your body's eyes are still going to report like separation, like things like that. But again, you're seeing with a different, like Didi just said, you're seeing with your mind instead. You're not listening, so to speak, to what your eyes are telling you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's so amazing, and it's really, I can see how difficult, how difficult it can be at times. Today I was with a group of people who I've known for years, and I connect with them more probably in a business place now. They're wonderful people, they're so kind, they're so good to me, but I noticed that our energy is just different, after all these years, it's just a different kind of social vibe. We just don't have sort of the same vibe. And it became really clear to me today. And I noticed that I was having trouble making that kind of, reporting that, but then also just focusing on feeling good for what it was. I could do that more so than I've been able to do, but I noticed that I was getting caught up, my ego was making judgments. And it was actually making judgments, it was attacking myself because I was kind of feeling like there was something wrong with me. Why was I not connecting with these people more? And after I went and I spent some time with another friend who I get along really well, and I saw how easy it was for us to flow, and we were just naturally more cheerful and our energy was higher together. And it just made me realize we were in different, it was a different frequency, but kind of what we're talking about, I was still using, instead of just tapping into what was underneath, my fear and that difference was coming back as separation. So I was using the physical as evidence that we were disconnected. And I was interpreting it as they were, I felt really shameful and guilty. They were they could feel it in me. Does that make sense? Like, it reminds me of a passage I think I was reading in the course they were saying, like, when you attack someone or you attack yourself, you're basically attacking their ability to accept God in them and in yourself, and you think that someone could actually take that away. And it's like, I can literally feel that tangibly happening, like, in the moment. Like, I'm so sensitive to that, like, shift. Like, I feel the shame come in. Like, they're literally, I'm letting that connection to myself, that God self leave when I look around and I feel like I'm seeing evidence of people being more closed off, if that makes sense.
And that's actually a beautiful thing, that it's tangible for you, because when it's that palpable, when it's that tangible, all you have to do is be willing to look at that with the Holy Spirit. That's it. You don't have to self-correct. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to, you know, make yourself see it differently. It's when it becomes that pronounced, that's always, even if it's like really uncomfortable, it's always a good thing, because that is that moment when it's clearly up at the surface, you know, what's going on, and you can just say, Holy Spirit, look at this with me. Holy Spirit, you know, but like, shine your light on this with me, and you know, you're willing to let it be transformed.
That again goes back to what she was talking about earlier about focus, because it's going to depend on where your focus is. And because it's never really about them.
I'm noticing, like, this works.
I know exactly what you're talking. I mean, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because I know exactly. I mean, I've questioned this in my own mind when I'm with certain people.
Yeah, me too. This has been a big recurring thing for me. I found taking it to spirit really helpful, because my ego gets in there and starts to try to tell me that it's my responsibility to be loving toward people that I'm not maybe on the same energetic frequency with. And that's not the case at all. It's not, I don't have to do anything. That's all ego. What I have found is that it's okay for energies to be on different frequencies, because we don't all have the same path. And usually when I'm feeling like, I wish, you know, so-and-so felt happier, say, for example, that's coming from an ego place, because I have a desire to change, on some level, change how someone is behaving or the feelings that I'm picking up from energies that are around me. And that's not our work. It's perfectly okay for every soul on this planet to be exactly where they are, experiencing what they're experiencing. Because on a soul level, every person has chosen to come into a body to learn different lessons. So that means that we're not all going to match up all the time. Because we've chosen a different journey.
Have this thing that I tell myself in those situations, and it is, I am free to be me. And I allow others the freedom to be who they are, and it is safe for all of us to grow up. And I also have this other thing where I say, mind your own business. Let them be. They are free. Stop taking prisoners.
Yeah.
And it helps me to shift out of that and, you know, get the Holy Spirit in there. It's almost like a form of self-discipline, you know, like cut it out.
That's brilliant, Paula, because the minute you start thinking, oh, I wish so-and-so would be happy or something, you're jumping in there and you're trying to change it.
It's a control thing, you know. It's like...
And it's like, it takes you instantly into guilt, because if you can't fix it, then you feel bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's so
it
true.
It is
I mean,
crucifixion
that like...
all over again.
What was
yeah.
that, Jen?
I was, it's like interesting to kind of look at it, because I think for the longest time in my life, I felt like, I think because I grew up in a family that I was very uncomfortable in, I was not a match of energetically to pretty much anyone but my brother in my family, that I just got used to kind of spending time around people that I didn't really feel good around. And, you know, I've changed so much, you know, over the years, and I'm really kind of aware now of, you know, I don't have to work that. I don't have to work hard at it. Like, I just need to be where it feels good. And you know, I think today's lesson, like, where I was today kind of showed me that again. And, like, that's okay. Like, it didn't – I love these people. They're like a family to me in so many ways, and yet they're people who I don't really want to spend that much time with at the same time. And I guess holding both those things true at the same exact time has been an interesting thing to do.
What everything that you're saying, Jen, is like, it's like you're talking about me or like the experiences I've had, because outside from my mom, who's just recently started studying the course because she's seen what it's done in my life, the rest of my family, I love them dearly, but we're just not energetically, we don't match up energetically. I don't go to my father's house and talk about the fact that I'm psychic, you know. I don't talk about A Course in Miracles because I want there to be the most peace in our interactions. But I know for myself that I need, for like keeping my joy and my energy the way that it's meant to be, you know, filling my light. I know that I need to be around that energy in small doses. And there's there's nothing wrong with that. It's just knowing what your spiritual and energetic metabolism is and honoring that.
Yeah. I mean, that's like huge. I mean, it just made me think, I kind of had this realization the past few weeks that I realized that as a child, I had to dim my light completely in order to survive my family. Yeah. And it took me, I was shut down. You know, it's taken me so many years to get to a place, you know, like maybe it took me like 25, 20 something years to realize it, then be given the techniques guided to do that. And A Course in Miracles has helped open me, you know, at a completely new level that, I mean, it's just so much like, I think, what the light I had as a child was, but it's interesting, it's like very, very interesting to realize that shining my light, actually, there's still guilt associated with it because of...
Yeah, and there are times where my guilt gets twinged too, because I fall back in the pattern of thinking it's my job to be the one that loves everyone. And that's your spiritual ego getting in there and trying to tell you that you have to take on a role, and that it's your job to, you know, express love in a certain way. And not everybody is like that. Sometimes your soul's path or whatever is to come here and to learn self-acceptance and self-love, and sometimes that doesn't come from your family of origin, or there's still love there, but sometimes we come forth to learn boundaries, and that we don't dim our light for other people as yourself.
Yeah, that's been a huge lesson. So I think it's interesting, kind of, I think my ego's been coming in with the course and, you know, almost kind of I'll like invalidate my feelings in certain ways and feel like, well, I should be more, you know, I should be more loving. I should be more this, but it's actually helped me in the opposite way where I notice there's no need for guilt. So if I'm going to, you know, feel the guilt come up, then that, you know, I'd rather feel good within myself than be with someone else and feel guilty.
That's exactly it. And the more I practice this course and I tune into my angels and guides and I come to them whenever issues around my family of origin come up, it's always, the message is always loving and supportive of me and keeping the peace within myself, because our only purpose is to accept our function in God, right? It's our purpose.
Yeah.
And in doing that for ourselves, we're accepting it for other people. So it's okay that my dad isn't on the same spiritual frequency as I am. He's living the purpose that he came here to learn, and it's not my job to fix it, change it, teach him, because he chose to come forth and learn something different than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That is so helpful. That is just so helpful, Deidre.
And if I could jump in and just add that this relates perfectly to I've been staring at this one sentence that we just read. It's in the middle of the paragraph. What you offer to your brother, you offer to him, the Holy Spirit, because he cannot go beyond your offering in his giving. And what's just been sort of standing, you know, jumping out off the page to me about that is that, you know, what you offer to your brother, you offer to him. If you're offering your brother complete freedom to be exactly where they are, whether it appears happy, sad, you know, easy, challenging, if you're offering that complete freedom to your brother, allowing our brothers to be exactly where they are, you're offering that same freedom to the Holy Spirit. Because it says,
but you're offering that same freedom to yourself.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
where just substituting that word brother to yourself. Oh, I really feel it in my, you know,
yeah.
I really feel that deep sense of forgiveness in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what I would love to add to this, that while I was listening to you, it was just a feeling that I know that all of us and all of you have discovered that, and I was not aware that when I'm shifting out of this love and acceptance, that the way that I can get back is when, you know, when you just go to a network or you just go to a store or something and you just look into somebody's eyes and you get that spark and you just know that this feeling of this spark of through the eyes of her or his spirit just touches you, and there is, you just know. You don't know what, but you just know that, oh, my God, that spirit. And then this is the feeling that I call that love at first sight, because it doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man, because I think that I fell in love with the spirit in her or him. And then when I this is the feeling when, for example, just like when I met with Jen and I looked in her eyes and I had this spark, and I don't know, it was just there. Everything was there in that moment. And then if I have a relationship that is shifting, what helps me, again, that I was not conscious until I was listening to you, ladies, that when I'm kind of like lost and I see into somebody's eyes and I see that soul, that actually I can say the Holy Spirit, but this wholeness and this unity, and that's what helps me to go back. And if I get stuck, I always ask the question that what does unconditional love is doing in this moment, and then I'm always receiving such an amazing guidance that what I need to do or how I need to talk, because these two things, looking into that person's eyes and asking these questions, I can stop or I can go there with love. And I think I don't really have words, but I think you can all relate to that. You can all relate to this the first spark, and then when I'm shifting and calling this first sight, because the spirit is there in the eyes. It's always there. And sometimes we're just blind. But if we go beyond those veils because of pain or misunderstanding or anything, where is this situation, and we are able to look through that, the spark is there. And then that what helps me to go back and connect with that spirit on the level that we need to deal in that moment. Make sense?
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's remembering to do that. It's remembering. And that's really where it comes in, this whole idea of keeping your focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then to me, just this sentence, it was again once from above that it was just ask, what is unconditional love doing or would do in this moment? And that's just the key sentence to me, or the key question, because it was so accurate in that moment when I heard it first. And it just connects me where we really talk about at this moment, this unconditional love.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was beautiful. Can definitely relate. Let's tackle another paragraph. If your brothers are part of you, will you accept them? Only they can teach you what you are, and your learning is the result of what you taught them. What you call upon in them, you call upon in yourself. And as you call upon it in them, it becomes real to you. God has but one Son, knowing them all as one. Only God himself is more than they, but they are not less than he is. Would you know what this means? If what you do to my brother, you do to me, and if you do everything for yourself because we are part of you, everything we do belongs to you as well. Every soul God created is part of you and shares his glory with you. His glory belongs to him, but it is equally yours. You cannot then be less glorious than he is. And we'll pause there.
Wow, I really like that second line. That one stood out to me, that only they can teach you what you are, and your learning is the result of what you taught them. Because it just made me think about what we were talking about in this conversation with boundaries, and I never saw, like, I think I always saw, like, loving someone, again, was, like, accepting them and having them in your space. But what really became clear, especially after what you said to Deidre, was sometimes what you're learning from other people is to go or to leave. Like, I kept even getting that message, like, when I was at this party, like, I was like, oh, my God, I've got to be here for another 3 hours. Like, I was like, how am I going to get through this? And, like, the voice would be like, well, you can leave, like, if you want to. You don't have to stay. But I wouldn't let myself do that because I wasn't clear on really what was happening. But it's like other people teach us who we are because we're seeing our vibration in ourselves by comparing ourselves to others as well.
Yeah, it's taken me a long time, and I wouldn't say I'm perfect at it, but the more and more I practice this, the more I'm learning that it's okay to have boundaries, and if I feel bad in any way, shape, or form, I can leave.
Yeah.
And I don't have to stay and put myself through torture in the name of trying to be loving, because all I'm doing is depleting myself and I'm dimming my light and I'm not being my true self by pretending to be something that I'm not.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that helps you, but it's something that, I still have complete and utter love for my family of origin. I just know that my sensitivity is to such an extent that I need to limit the amount of time I spend in the energetics because I'm not going in their energy anymore with the intention of changing anything. I have complete acceptance of who they are and where they're at, but that doesn't mean that I have to hang out 24/7 anymore.
Yeah, it totally helps. I mean, it just is nice to kind of hear it, because this has been my lesson for so many years, to the point where I completely limit my time with my family, and I used to feel so much more guilty about it, but it's gotten to the point where I can accept it more. But I think there's still a part of me that's still trying to work out. It's still having trouble fully accepting, because it's that part of me that feels lost. There's a tremendous amount of loss and disappointment from the part of me that I think was the part of me that was light, and ego part that thought it had to separate and mourned, you know, was mourning that, you know, illusion, but it was very real, because it was a child, you know, not knowing, you know, what else to do. It was trapped.
Yeah.
So,
for me, just hearing you talk, like, and relating my childhood experience, I went through a tremendous amount of grief, I would say is the right word, because even though my parents did absolutely everything that they could, there was still that the inner child within me that was craving to be loved in a way that they couldn't offer, and only Holy Spirit can offer. And
yeah.
I think that's the missing piece that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that you would have come forth to learn self-love and acceptance of yourself. That would have been one of your main lessons. So.
And I'm so glad you said that, Deidre, too, because we're only ever looking for the love of God. That's all we're ever looking for. And we look, you know, in so many forms and relationships, and that, you know, that's the ego's – the special relationship is the ego, you know, what the ego made to take the place of God. And so, you know, we try and try and try to find it here, or out there, I should say, and all, you know, we ultimately all come to learn that it's God's love that we're looking for. And I just want to highlight, too, one of the sentences that we just read. If what you do to my brother, you do to me, and if you do everything for yourself, because we are part of you, everything we do belongs to you as well. So I just wanted to emphasize that, because when you're healed, you're not healed alone. We're all, you know, helping each other up the ladder of, you know, the descent into fear that we went down. We're all helping each other ascend back into peace. So every gain that anyone makes is for all.
Mm. Right, and I think a lot of what you're saying, Jen, comes from the ego's belief system, where the ego talks, you know, the ego would have us believe that boundaries of any kind are selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's false.
It just boggles my mind, because as a child, I didn't think that there was any other, I really felt like I couldn't survive unless I put those ego boundaries up. Like, so it's been a lot of really letting go of the need to kind of know why. And I know, you know, I know it on an intellectual level, it's because this is the lesson I was supposed to learn. But like you said, that child part, can't understand it. It's like, what, you know, like why should it have to happen?
Yeah.
So I'm working with that part, and I've been bringing those parts to, you know, my higher self and the Holy Spirit so much. And the more I've been doing that, really starting to get in touch more with myself so deeply, and so it's amazing, the power of doing that.
I would just say keep doing what you're doing, and there's probably a need for your inner child to come out a lot more.
She's been coming out a lot. So right now is my time to take care of her and be a part of that process, because I want to be farther in certain ways, but she's been I think she's been ignored for a long time. So,
what has really helped me too, because like I said, this family thing has been something that I beat myself up over for many, many, many years, because again, my ego got in there and was like, you should be this role. You
mm-hmm.
should fix things for other people, right? And I completely lost myself in that. I stuffed down the fact that I am psychic, and I stuffed down, you know, my spiritual identity and the reason that I came here. I stuffed all that down, and I lost it in trying to be what I thought, you know, I was supposed to be in the world. I chose that, and it was actually a blessing, because now I know the difference between what it feels like to completely lose my true self in the
yeah.
special relationship of other people, and what it is like to come back to the light and allow my true self to truly shine. So as
yeah.
hard as those experiences were, they're a blessing, because I know how much better I feel when I'm in the light now.
Oh my God, it's like, I'm so thankful for it. Like, I feel like the, you know, like what you're kind of saying, like when you can see that change, having lost yourself completely and living so hidden for so long, and then when you
yeah.
get it back, I feel like, oh my God, you know, like I'm just so happy. Just
and
like,
the, yeah.
Amazing.
And the last thing I want to say, and then we'll let Corinne move forward, but Louise Hay has been, I don't know if you've read any of her stuff, but she's incredible when it comes to family of origin relationships, and she's really helped me come to understand that as difficult as some of those relationships were for me, they are a blessing, because my dad and my mom and my stepmother and my grandparents were really doing the best that they possibly could with what they were given, how they were taught.
Oh, it's the chain of pain.
It's the
absolutely.
Chain of pain. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that I always, because I was such a wise child, I always went to that place first.
Yeah.
And my work now is actually letting myself be like super upset, because I never would let myself be upset. So it's actually allowing the Holy Spirit to be with me when I'm allow myself to feel rage, you know,
yeah.
at what I missed out on. And that's been the biggest healing, is actually, instead of bottling up and being like, oh, you know, they're, you know, I know I'll come around. That's going to be what allows me to really, truly accept them, because I was
yeah.
trying to brush over it and trying to not go through those feelings because they were too painful.
Yeah.
That is so interesting, because it's always, I had this awful habit, not awful habit, but I had this habit of always making excuses for them rather than actually feel that inner turmoil. I was terrified of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll try to cover it up, you know,
yeah.
by making excuses for them, or even, I mean, there's a million different ways of going into denial around it, but actually being able to allow your feelings.
Yeah.
And I mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The course is so helpful in all of this. It's so incredible.
I mean, recognizing that your parents, or whatever the relationship is, are doing the best they can, doesn't mean, you know, hurtful things that happened didn't hurt.
Right.
And
I never wanted to really own them at the time, because I didn't have the tools to own them. I was terrified of my own anger, my own upset. You know, the courses, I was really walking around like a carpenter with an empty tool belt. And when I encountered this Course in Miracles, I mean, it gives you the tools to deal with that inner turmoil.
Yeah.
And it goes
and to
back
let
to what you said,
go
Paula,
of it
a couple of weeks ago about processing through it. And Jen, that sounds like what you're doing. You're allowing yourself to go through what you need to go through your lessons and not take that, you know, tempting spiritual bypass to skip over them. So,
yeah.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Go ahead,
Tony. Oh, I was just going to say, just like DG said, I think I was just going to say that, you know, yeah, it's the spiritual ego that, you know, would be tempted to make that bypass. So that was it. I'm sorry, was that Henny?
Yes, it was she. And then I don't know if it will help you to share this amazing story, because I'm just so thrilled. I know how the spirit works. But it was just so amazing what I had experienced today, and it's just a kind of like summarizing or matching everything to me what you were talking about so far, because I was coming from a very, very harsh family too, so I think all of us light workers have kind of challenging family, and one of my biggest challenge was really and truly my father, and how he could never be there emotionally and not a way, but more like in an abusive way. And what was really amazing is that I, with my focus, with my ego, everything that you just told, I created the reality to me that it was just so appealing that I was attracting guys all in my life who could never be there when I truly needed emotionally, because and being a psychologist, I totally got it, yes, because of my father and of my brother too, because on top he was very similar, and on top he even enjoyed torturing me in his own way. So all of the male figures in my life were totally not loving, but really just giving me the hard part, and I totally, and actually it was a kind of like proving my other lives that how guys are and how it is to be a woman. And then consequently, I could never really attract a guy. And it was that I wanted to. And I have been always working, and I'm 42, and it was like my whole life lesson. And then what was amazing to today, and it's been like a series of happening, and it just goes back that whatever you give to your brother, and then whatever you shift you make, that it's just not healing in one person, but in all, that in our family, so many things started to happen. My father needed to face the fact that he had got bladder cancer, and then he got cured for them, but he needed to face the fact that he may lose the whole family or he may pass, and then somehow he realized that how important love is. And then part of this and part of all of our inner work that everybody was doing in the family, that we got to a level, but let me just talk my relationship with my father, because that's what I think is really, really amazing the last couple of years, that he started to be a support to me that I have never, never experienced. And, for example, what happened is that yesterday I broke up with a guy after a really weird and two-year relationship, that I was able to step into my value and saying that it just doesn't work. And I was grieving, and it was really hard yesterday and today. But what was amazing to me, and this is what comes together, and I hope that I can express that everybody will understand and make sense to you, that today when we talked on Skype, and my father immediately tapped into that, and he said, "So did you talk to him?" And I told him what happened, and he said, "I know how hard it is. Why didn't you come and cry on my shoulder?" And he opened his arms through Skype, and he had never, never, ever would say this or did this for 40 years. And it was just giving me the insights that this was like the second thing, the last, let's say, like 6 months, then I needed to realize that actually he is there. He was there when I truly and really needed him. And because of my pain and because of my focus and ego and everything you told so far, was I was focusing on that. And it's just so beautiful to see that how things are coming together at the same time, and how we are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that once you have done truly and honestly your inner work, everything comes together and shifts, and you got aware that I know that I'm ready to start seeing a new type of guys, a new type of kind of guy, you know, like man, because I have shifted and I understood that everybody in my life was like an actress and co-actor and co-actress in my own drama that I needed to come through and realize and learn my lesson. And they were all helping me. And I'm the only one who can change the script. And then if I change the script because I let love guide through me and I see the light and I'm open to see their willingness to change, and then immediately the scenery and the change and their relationship to me will change. And this was just such a beautiful blessing and such an amazing gift today that I don't know if it makes sense that I told you now that, and if you can heal.
I totally understand.
Yes.
Totally.
It was just like
totally
a healing
makes sense.
For the last 40 years, actually. It was just like the final point on a healing period.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. That's really, really powerful. Thank you, everybody, for having such powerful conversations tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get much reading done, but that's what next week is for. anybody, we're almost at the top of the hour. Does anybody have any final thoughts to share?
My last thought
was so necessary.
Okay, I would just finish and then I close that. Just my insight was that we all know that whatever relationship you have with your father or your mother, that's symbolically your relationship with God and the goddess, the feminine part of creation. So to me today, what was happening was really the huge healing and trust with the divine on the level that I thought that I have never had, but it was there. So
yeah.
I just wanted to share. Thank you so much.
I can definitely relate to that. Like now that I'm at the place where I've let go of the fixing and the wanting to change and just allowing people to be who they are, I'm coming into who I truly am, and it's really okay for people to be exactly where they are, and I'm at peace in a way that I haven't ever been, because I'm not worried about trying to change or fix anything. And
I have to be honest and say that I find it to be an ongoing process. I remember and I forget. I'm not always, but you know, you never get it done and you can't get it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And the contrast is constantly helping us to shift and focus our perspective on Holy Spirit. And that's, you know, that's the blessing right there, the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I have it 100% of the time, but for the most part, I've really shifted that. So I
yes.
notice the difference.
You have an awareness now.
Yeah.
That is intense, and it's what we need, and it's keeping our focus on that awareness and always calling on the Holy Spirit in these challenging situations that come up.
Amen. We're at the top of the hour, so we'll resume. We'll pick up where we left off next week, and I hope everybody has a great week. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Corinne.
Thank you,
everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week, everybody.